Hey, everybody. What a last 4 years. We take a moment right before President Trump leaves office to remember all the accomplishments, the highlights here on The Charlie Kirk Show. Things are about to change, and unfortunately not for the better, but it's time to remember how good things have been made thanks to President Trump on trade, immigration, foreign policy, and so much more. If you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. Time for a look back on the last 4 years. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here with Isabel Brown. Welcome to this show today. Isabel, today is the last day of the Trump presidency.
But it's been a great
and
4 years.
We are debating whether or not we will air Biden's speech. Probably will. And we'll give you the instant analysis. But I wanted to take today, look, there's a lot happening, obviously. There's a lot of people that are previewing, what is Biden going to do? He's going to destroy everything. Okay. So that's the end of that segment. We'll get into all the details, his nominations, his blunders, his blusters, all of it. But instead, I want to take a moment to do what I don't think any other show is going to do, Isabel.
Probably not today.
Which is to appreciate and celebrate the last 4 years.
There's such an important legacy that I think it's important we remember, especially after the events of the last few weeks and the narrative from the media and the left. We can't forget about what was accomplished over
and
the last 4 years.
One thing I wish the president would have done the last couple months, at least post-election, even in the midst of all of this, you know, these struggles that he was in to try and figure out what happened in the election, is I wish he would have done a victory tour. A victory tour not is like, oh, I won the election, but look how much we've accomplished as a country, or a celebration tour, whatever it might be called. And this is common for presidents to do that. Obama did this back at the end of his term. He did a big event in Chicago because there's a lot to celebrate. And there are some amazing accomplishments in every single arena imaginable. And he has changed international policy, trade policy, immigration policy, the courts. And we want to make sure that we reinforce that legacy in the last full day of the Trump presidency.
Absolutely. And really, the face of politics in America and around the world has forever changed now, thanks to this president. I think we're seeing a resurgence of the idea of our founding as a nation, that this government was meant to serve the people and not the other way around. We have a big old stack of papers for you guys of accomplishments from the president during his term in office. And we're really excited to unpack what that legacy looks like for you
today. All
right,
so let's start at the beginning. Isabel, where were you when he came down the golden escalator?
Oh my gosh. When he came down the golden escalator, I was in college. I was a student watching on TV. And at the time, I was so confused about what this guy stood for, who he was. He was making a really big splash in conservative politics, but I was really excited to just see his momentum grow throughout the primaries and then obviously against Hillary Clinton in the general election too.
I remember where I was. I was at our Young Women's Leadership Summit. Our first ever Young Women's Leadership Summit in the suburbs of Chicago. That was 2015. President Donald Trump declared for the presidency the day after Jeb Bush declared for the presidency. I think he just saw Jeb Bush declare. He's like, screw it. I got to get in. Goes down that golden escalator. And I just want to I just want you guys to understand. Do you remember how boring politics was before Trump?
So boring.
It was just boring. It was not eventful. And I actually think the left is going to legitimately miss him.
Yeah.
In fact, we're already seeing that.
Oh, of course. They're already looking for more to talk
Trump
about.
Launching the Trump legacy project. You know, they're launching all these sorts of different things that Trump's going to be on the back nine in Mar-a-Lago at Trump National. And they're like, he's still the source of our problems. I'm going to be like, what? I mean, I only served 4 years. But it was more than a presidency, though.
Right. It was a movement.
It was a movement. And for us, Isabel, you know, the 5 year – oh, my God, let's think about this. That's almost 6 years ago. It's 5.5 years ago he came down that golden escalator.
That's insane to me that it's been that long.
Has there been a day since that we have not talked about him?
No, of course not. He's been the center of not just the national conversation, but the world's conversation,
every conversation.
For 6 years.
Every person, I think, has thought about Donald Trump since he came down the golden escalator. Positive, negative.
At least once a day.
Indifferent. And really what he struck at a moment in American politics where it looked as if you'd have one dynasty up another against another, right? You would have one Clinton dynasty up against the Bush dynasty, and it was just going to be a matter of they're going to agree on immigration, they're going to agree on trade, they're going to agree on foreign policy, they might disagree on corporate tax cuts. That's it.
That was really the only thing that separated
them. There's a couple other things, I'm sure, you know, maybe school choice policy and stuff. But basically it was, do you want the Bush or the Clinton way to rule the country, right? And Trump came in and said from his opening speech, which our team is pulling, because there are some – we want to start at the very beginning when he said everything that you've been told is a lie. And basically he said we're getting ripped off and I'm going to run a campaign on three things that you're not supposed to talk about: trade, immigration, and these stupid wars that we're in. Those three things are the three things that actually Clinton and Bush agreed on. Think about it. The trade deals we've been doing, the immigration policy that was put in place, and the reckless, endless wars overseas. And so President Donald Trump comes onto the scene, and I think he was first met with mockery more than anything else. Would you agree?
Absolutely. He was the definition of a political outsider. And really throughout our lifetime, at least, Charlie, political dynasties were what dominated presidential mm-hmm. elections. It was always having to do with—
You couldn't disrupt them.
Right. You can't disrupt the establishment whatsoever on either side of the aisle. And here comes this millionaire from New York City that all of a sudden connected so intimately with people who had felt disenfranchised for so many decades
yes.
in the American electorate, not just conservatives, but all across the political spectrum.
And so then President Trump all of a sudden got mocked and he got taken a little bit more seriously coming into the fall of 2015 when he started to lead in some of these polls. And all of a sudden these debates were coming up and the very famous debate with Megyn Kelly and Rosie O'Donnell. I was there. I was there and in Cleveland, Ohio, watching the debate with Trump and Kasich and Christie. Remember all these guys? Kasich used to call himself a Republican. And Trump stole the show. And Cruz did well and Rand Paul did well. And other people, it was all about Trump. Everything was about Trump from that point forward. And I don't think people really knew how to deal with him.
No, it was so unexpected. The nicknames on the debate stage for all of the primary debates. This guy who was really not polished when it came to how to deliver his policy mm-hmm. ideas, but said it like it was and said
That's
what
right.
everyone was thinking, but nobody was willing to say, shocked the American political system.
That's exactly right. And so then all of a sudden, Iowa came around and he didn't win Iowa, but he did well, got second. And then he won New Hampshire, won South Carolina, won Nevada. And I'll never forget Newt Gingrich was on TV and he said, Republicans are now going to have to accept the fact that Donald Trump's about to be your nominee. And you just heard screaming and yelling all over the place. He became the nominee and polls were coming out that he was down 58 points, that he was down. He was going to destroy the Republican Party. Everything was terrible always. And in June and July of 2016, Hillary didn't really take him that seriously. He was still campaigning. He was still talking about trade, immigration, and ending endless wars, those three things. And then the Republican convention happened. Were you there, the Republican convention?
I was not in 2016.
So I was there in 16, and it was a convention unlike any other. I can honestly say that. And there was a spirit and there was an energy that just felt like it was a different type of political convention. And then all of a sudden, we kind of roll into the fall of 16, and the debates come up. And so let's get to our first sound here. Let's go back. Let's go to cut 36. And this was less about what actually the ramifications of this statement would be, because I know a lot of people are disappointed this actually never came to fruition. But it was more of, oh, he just said that and he's not going to be restrained. Remember this moment, play cut 36.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
Epic. And that, I mean, that from that, I think that was one of the most defining moments ever in debate history.
Oh, and, easily.
And remember, Donald, everything that Donald Trump had to overcome, the Billy Bush tapes, all of the attacks from within, And Hillary Clinton never took him seriously. She never visited Michigan, never visited Wisconsin, never visited Pennsylvania. And when all of a sudden those states started to pour in, you remember where you were in the night of the election?
Oh, I will never forget. We were watching the election from my college apartment thinking, well, at least we'll all be together if we lose. And all of a sudden these states came pouring in one after another. It was so electrifying.
And one after the other, we realized that Trump was going to serve as president of the United States. And we're going to go into that. We're going to go in. What defined this presidency? Was it a success? Was it a failure? Was it as chaotic as they say? Or was this a presidency that we should always remember as a success? So we are talking about this as our memories were trying to go through this the best we could. Let's go to cut 41. Listen to the promises he was making 5.5 years ago. Play tape.
I am officially running for president of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again. I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. I tell you that. I'll bring back our jobs from China, from Mexico, from Japan, from so many places. I'll bring back our jobs and I'll bring back our money. Sadly, the American dream is dead.
Bring it back.
But if I get elected president, I will bring it back bigger and better and stronger than ever before, and we will make America great again. Thank you.
I would say that more so than any other politician, he stayed focused on his mission from day one all the way through.
He did. He didn't get distracted by the name calling or the debates. He had one clear plan, and that was to serve the American people, to build back the things that we had lost throughout our lifetime as big government expanded to realms never before seen in American history, mm-hmm. and the idea of an individual American being squashed by politics.
Yeah, it's just, and you hear when he's talking about, we're going to bring jobs back, we're going to do all of this. That has been a laser focus of his throughout all of these years. And so then he became president, and then the empire struck back.
A bit. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Charlie.
And I think they have not stopped this entire 4 years.
There have been promises to impeach this president since before his inauguration 4 years ago. People on the left, just like his laser focus with serving the American people, mm-hmm. have been laser focused on trying to take down this president at every turn, just throwing anything at the wall to see if it will stick. And they've honestly gotten more outlandish as time has gone on.
That's exactly right. And so now we have a set of circumstances where the Democrats are about to take over, you know, all power starting tomorrow. And the question is, was this administration and this presidency worth it? Some people are saying he didn't achieve anything. There were no accomplishments, a lot of promises, not a lot of follow through. It's just not true. And as soon as he won in 2016, they spied on his campaign, Crossfire Hurricane. They entrapped Michael Flynn in the early days of it, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, none of whom have been held accountable, by the way.
Correct.
And I don't think a Biden Justice Department is going to be quick to indict Peter Strzok or Lisa Page or Brennan or Clapper or any of those folks. And so none of that will probably ever be brought to justice. And so, but from the minute he became president-elect, they all of a sudden, they immediately started to launch everything they possibly could to undercut him.
Instantly. And that was their game plan from day one. Present this unified front from the Democrat Party and from the political left mm-hmm. to take him down at every possible second.
And despite that, President Trump remained focused all throughout his transition, remained focused all throughout the early days of his presidency and even through the toughest parts of his presidency.
Being impeached twice, for example.
Being impeached, and also the special counsel with Bob Mueller. And with all of that, in front of him and all of the difficulty and all of the headwinds, President Trump still had an unprecedented amount of accomplishments. We're going to go through that list, and we're going to go through the sound and also just some of the fun moments.
The highlight reel.
Remember when Kanye West came to the Oval Office?
I was an intern at the White House.
Were you really?
My first day of my internship when Kanye West was there.
That's wild. And amongst many other moments that I don't think we will ever forget, Chuck and Nancy with Donald Trump in the Oval Office. So many moments. And the underlying theme is a president that did things differently to accomplish things for you and for our country because he said he would. Okay, we were remembering when he won, and it's worth going back because it still will go down as one of the most significant moments in American political history. Let's play a little montage from that. Play tape.
Election night in America, the fight for the presidency.
Because we don't care.
Oh, okay, half Kentucky. Who cares?
Kentucky.
Don't care about Kentucky.
Indiana. Don't care.
Indiana. With it's West Virginia, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama, Kansas, Nebraska, and Wyoming with its vote. North Dakota and South Dakota, Texas.
Up and down the middle of the country, all red.
Arkansas, Louisiana, the state of Montana, Missouri.
Yes. It was at 80% an hour ago for Clinton.
What is it now?
68%.
Okay, God damn. I'm nervous.
Ohio.
Hold. Ohio. Don.
Idaho.
Okay. Yeah. I don't see a f***ing landslide here. I don't see it at all.
North Carolina.
God damn it. If we need Florida, are you f***ing me?
Florida.
It is f***ing panic time.
Georgia.
Donald Trump, now the favorite to win the presidency.
Iowa.
New York Times now has it at 95% chance.
Utah.
Can still win, but in order to do so, she has to win Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
God damn.
Arizona.
Alaska.
Pennsylvania.
Michigan.
All of
what
three.
A night. How did this?
It's just fun to remember that. Shock and awe. President Trump became President Trump. And so then from that moment, they declared a revenge campaign, retaliation at all costs. And the president had incredible perseverance. You know, Isabel, the amount they threw at him, the amount that they tried to obstruct and thwart him was absolutely historic.
It took having a fighter in the White House mm-hmm. to withstand that. And, you know, we've talked a lot about this in the past, Charlie, but I think for most of our lifetime, conservatives were expected to be very polite and quiet and just respond to things in a very correct manner, prescripted, sound very presidential. But this president reinforced to the American people that it's okay to fight back. It's okay to stand up for yourself and what you believe in. And most importantly, go on offense for conservative
ideas.
That's
right. And that's what he did. And they launched the Mueller investigation just a couple months after President Trump was sworn in, which occupied a huge part of the news coverage in the early days of the Trump presidency. In fact, almost 2 years into it, the fight around the wall and shutting down the government was a big moment. Remember this when Donald Trump, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in the White House and Donald Trump decided to bring Socratic debate into the Oval Office. Play tape.
And 20 times,
I don't want to do what you did.
20 times Chuck, you have called for, I will shut down the government if I don't get my wool. None of us have
you
said.
You want to know something?
You've said
okay,
it.
Okay, you want to put that
you
on my.
You said it.
I'll take it.
Okay, good.
You know what I'll say? Yes, if we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it. The last time you shut it down, it didn't work. I will take the mantle
good.
Of shutting down.
That is
and
lovely.
I'm going to shut it down for border
but we
security.
Believe you shouldn't
okay.
shut it down.
But
that's the definition of playing offense.
Did you hear him talking? I'll shut it down, Chuck. I've got no problem
I'll shut
doing
it down.
That.
I'll shut it down. President Donald Trump also played offense when it came to the courts. Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett successfully put on the United States Supreme Court. Let's start with Cut 35. Amy Coney Barrett, the trifecta in one term, being added to the United States Supreme Court. Play Cut 35.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
the duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
And there it is. We have a new Supreme Court justice.
And there it is. The Supreme Court back in constitutionalist hands. That is going to be hopefully very helpful when Joe Biden tries to do executive amnesty, executive gun control. In fact, there's some rule. They want to do some things with gun control, don't they?
Yes, they do. They have plans for day one and certainly the first 100 days after tomorrow as well.
Trying to confiscate weapons and do all sorts of different things there. President Donald Trump also changed the geopolitical landscape internationally. He brought peace to the Korean Peninsula. President Obama said that North Korea was the biggest problem facing us. Now, President Donald Trump was condemned for this, but he crossed into the DMZ. And he was the first president of our lifetime, Isabel, not to start a new war. And we already predicted this. Joe Biden will declare a new war because there's nothing like getting America distracted, like getting us involved in another foreign entanglement like Bush and Clinton did and Obama. President Donald Trump crossing into the DMZ. Cut 44.
My friend.
Hello.
It is good to see you again.
이런 데서 작가를 만나게 될 줄 생각 못
했어요. I've never expected to meet you at this place.
That's good. That's my honor. Would you like me to step across?
작가께서 한 발자국 건너시면 사상 처음으로 우리 땅을 밟으시는 미국 대통령이 되십니다.
I'm okay with it. Forward. You will be the first U.S. president to cross the
line. I'd be very proud to do that. Okay, let's do it. Come on.
And there it was.
What a powerful moment. I still get chills watching that video just to understand the level of leadership we saw from our president to take on what we assumed to be our worst enemy possible and try to negotiate peace. That takes so much more strength than just declaring another war. And I was so proud to see that.
Look, cancel culture is a very big problem. And the fact is, the internet never forgets. There's never been a more important time to protect your internet activity, which is why I urge you to get ExpressVPN. Everything you search for, watch, or click online can be tracked by big tech companies. They then match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. When I switch on ExpressVPN with my computer or phone, my IP address is masked by a secure VPN server, which makes it harder for websites to identify me. The ExpressVPN app also encrypts my network data to protect my sensitive information from being compromised. Plus, you can use ExpressVPN on up to 5 devices simultaneously, so multiple users on your network can stay safe with a single subscription. What I like the best is how easy it is to use. It just takes one click to protect all your devices. That's why they're rated the number one VPN by CNET and Wired. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies. Go to the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Charlie. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie to get 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie right now to learn more. Peace through strength, and the strength that President Donald Trump showed internationally and with foreign leaders was something that allowed him to not have us get into another foreign war, where Biden will almost assuredly get us into another foreign entanglement, unfortunately. They tried to impeach him. They tried to attack him every way. Let's go to cut 32 of President Trump holding up the headline to reporters, Trump acquitted, cut 32.
I've done things wrong in my life, I will admit. Not purposely, but I've done things wrong. But this is what the end result is.
Trump acquitted. One of the more historic moments of the entire presidency. Another thing was President Donald Trump's willingness to try to grow the Republican Party in the black community. Your first day as an intern, Mr. West came, didn't he?
Mr. West was in the Oval Office and everyone was abuzz at the White House.
This was one of the more wild moments and I loved every minute of it. Cut 33, Kanye West talking to Trump.
It's more important than any specific deal, anything, that we bring jobs into America and that we provide a transition with mental health and the American education curriculum.
And I encourage you to watch it in full because they agreed on a lot and Kanye ran for president. I don't know how well he did, but that was definitely an amazing moment. And President Donald Trump deserved credit for just the willingness to take a risk.
Take a risk and connect with the American people
in
a language they understand. We like to refer to this president as the pop culture president because he understood what makes our country tick, what we love, what we're passionate about, and he engaged in that too.
President Donald Trump was the most pro-life president in American history. Let's go to Cut 38 of President Trump at the March for Life. Cut 38.
It is my profound honor to be the first president in history to attend the March for Life. We're here for a very simple reason, to defend the right of every child, born and unborn, to fulfill their God-given potential. For 47 years, Americans of all backgrounds have traveled from across the country to stand for life. And today, as President of the United States, I am truly proud to stand with you.
It's awesome. And the most pro-life president in American history, also the most ridiculed president, obviously, in modern American history, large in part because of that. Then, of course, the China plague came, the China coronavirus came, and President Donald Trump was quick to blame China for it. We have had 4 years of putting China on defense, which might have bought us some time. Unfortunately, that's going to come to an end. Let's go to Cut 39.
And to fight the China virus, it's the China virus, not the coronavirus. Corona sounds like a place in Italy, a beautiful place. It's Corona. No, it's the China virus. They don't want to say it. You know, the radical left, they don't want to say it.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds like a place in Italy. I'm going to miss this man.
Me too. I'm going to miss his Trumpisms so much.
Politics is going to get so boring and so totalitarian so quickly.
Absolutely.
We have some more sound here that I want to get. Let's get to, let's see if we have, oh, yeah, this is a good one. Where President Donald Trump finally made Europe pay as being part of NATO, saying that, and this might be a little loud, by the way, those of you on headphones, it's a lot because the Marine One's in the background. Let's go to Cut 31. President Donald Trump saying Germany is delinquent. They have not paid their NATO fees. The United States has been taken advantage of. This has been a common theme, making sure that we are not getting ripped off anymore. Cut 31.
But Germany's delinquent. They haven't paid their fees. They haven't paid their NATO fees. And they're way off. And they've been off for years. And they have no intention of paying it. And the United States has been taken advantage of on trade and on military and on everything else for many years. And I'm here and I've been straightening it out.
Sound familiar to his announcement for the presidency? Where most politicians like Biden and other establishment politicians, they'll say one thing just to get in power and then they kind of lose it. They're like, ah, I said that thing, whatever. Even Obama did that. Obama was all about reforming a corrupt political system, no blue states, no red states, just the United States of America. We all kind of come together. And of course, none of that transpired. President Donald Trump said that we've been getting ripped off. You need a new negotiator. You need a new person to come in. And that is President Donald Trump, who will go after these trade deals, change the way we do immigration in this country. And he has said that time and time again.
And put America and Americans first and foremost. He said it perfectly, that America has been taken advantage of for far too long. And we're happy to be generous to the rest of the world, but it can't rip us off in the long run.
Amen. And there's something that is usually said at high school graduations where it says, don't be sad it's over, be happy it happened.
I like that. Poetic words for today.
That's usually what kids say at high school graduations, because we have been so blessed by this, not just the president himself, but his whole team, everything that has been done through all the hard work. And you know so many of those people that worked in the White House, they get in at like 6:30 in the morning and they leave at 9 o'clock at night and they've been working so hard. And we want to appreciate those people because they really went through a lot and it was a harder presidency than ever to serve because of all the pressure. We got an email here. Charlie, doesn't it seem crazy how many troops there are in D.C.? What do you think is going to happen? I feel like the National Guard is there for other reasons. And it goes on from there. Thank you for your question, freedom@charliekirk.com. I think the National Guard is there as a reaction to what happened 2 weeks ago, but also to give that I don't think that the Democrats want the aesthetic of a vibrant, open Washington, D.C. I think they want the aesthetic of, look how awful everything is. It's militarized. We're broken. We're divided. And now we have a new leader, and everything from that point forward might be better.
I used to live in Washington, D.C., and the reality is right now everything in like a 30-block radius is completely shut down. You have to provide your address, your utility statements to prove that you're going home. If you live downtown, your tax payments to prove that you're going to work if you work downtown. So it seems like the presence of tens of thousands of troops, more so than Afghanistan, Syria, and Iraq combined in Washington, D.C. today, is a little bit unnecessary.
Incredible. So let's get to the accomplishments. You have some lists here, Isabel?
We have a giant stack of papers for you guys full of all of the accomplishments from this president. And the sad reality is the media isn't going to cover most of these things simply because they're not flashy news topics of the day and they don't make the coolest headlines, even though the work that was completed by this administration directly benefited the lives of millions of Americans every single day. Obviously, we know the economy is probably the largest stronghold from this administration and will hopefully end up helping us out for years to come. Assuming that the Biden administration doesn't undo everything on day one, which obviously we're expecting a little bit of. We saw record job growth over the last 4 years, record low unemployment. At one point, there were even more jobs available than people that could fill them, Charlie.
We had the greatest economy in American history. And then, of course, we locked down because of the Chinese coronavirus. But we also wages were going up. Historically, the bottom income earners were the most positively affected. Not to mention the largest middle class tax cut in American history. The jobless claims hit a 50-year low, as you mentioned. Poverty rates for blacks and Hispanics reached record lows. Income inequality fell for two straight years and by the largest amounts in over a decade.
And here's a statistic you probably won't hear in the media, but the bottom 50% of American households saw a 40% increase in net worth. That is amazing of an accomplishment from the Trump administration. And just to know that this administration was fighting so hard for the groups of people that the media said they couldn't care less about is so important to remember.
Created 1.2 million manufacturing construction jobs, brought supply chains back to the United States, tax relief for the middle class, peace in the Middle East between Israel, UAE, Bahrain, fair and reciprocal trade, redoing NAFTA to the USMCA that put our country first, which was a promise made and a promise kept. We're finally energy independent, something that Biden plans to change, unleashing America's oil and natural gas potential. It's pretty incredible. Not to mention replenished the national strategic stockpile, ensured American leadership in technology and innovation, advanced women's economic empowerment, investing in America's workers and families. The list goes on and on and on. Joe Biden plans to cancel Keystone XL pipeline on day one.
Day one.
And the Dakota Access Pipeline, which would be a gift to Russia and China, which is the point, of course.
Of course it is.
That is, you know, what their aim and what their objective is. And we're going to keep on going through this list. And it's pretty incredible. Canceling the Iran deal, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing the Golan Heights, redoing NAFTA, no new wars, which is something I wish they would have talked about more in the campaign. Finally, taking illegal immigration seriously, hundreds of miles of the border wall built, 200 circuit court judges and growing, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, all of that. But Mr. President, for all of us that have supported, we want to say thank you for everything that you have done these last couple of years. And we know it's been tough. We know that you have been under intense scrutiny. And some of you are watching, you might not be fans of President Trump. You might think he has an unusual style. You don't like all of this. But I could tell you this right now. In 6 months and 9 months, you're going to wish President Trump was still president. In a year from now, you're going to wish that President Trump was still president. His longest lasting legacy of challenging China, reinvigorating the American worker, changing the Republican Party for better, giving a voice to people that have never been involved in the process before. Making the Republican Party one that has the MAGA doctrine. And I think all of us need to say thank you for President Trump for what he has done these last 4 years for our country.
I think we took for granted how much of a fighter we've had in the Oval Office for the last few years. Someone who's willing to go to bat for the American people, not just play political games in Washington. I'm so, so grateful for that as someone who probably would have been invisible to the political establishment. And I'm definitely going to miss that.
So we wanted to make sure we saw his last day off properly. We're going to do that as well as we continue to build this out. But Mr. President, thank you for enduring, persevering, for having the back of American students sign the free speech executive order, and for never giving up. It's been incredible. Let's face it, taking trips to the post office is probably not how you want to spend your time. That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com has saved businesses thousands of hours and lots of money. With Stamps.com, you get the services of the post office and UPS all in one place, plus big discounts on mailing and shipping rates. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. Stamps.com is a must-have for any business. Whether you're a small office sending out invoices or an online seller shipping out orders, Stamps.com is a no-brainer. Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with my promo code Charlie, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in Charlie. That's Stamps.com, promo code Charlie. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Let's get to some more sound here, and let's just get to kind of some of the more news of the day. But we are kind of just looking back on the last 4 years positively on the impact that it had made on our country and just the amazing amount of accomplishments and success in more ways than one. Let's go to Cut 46 when President Trump at the UN General Assembly called Kim Jong-un Rocket Man. Let's go to Cut 46.
The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
And I think that was back when Rex Tillerson was still.
Yeah, you saw
Secretary
the clip
State.
There of him as Secretary of State with Nikki Haley. But let's not forget, it was this nickname that led to him visiting the DMZ to begin with in Korea.
That's right. Let's go to Cut 45. President Trump at the border talking about the 450 miles of wall built under his administration. Cut 45.
But unlike those who came before me, I kept my promises. And today we celebrate an extraordinary milestone, the completion of the promised 450 miles of border wall. 450 miles. Nobody realizes how big that is.
And so let's understand the significance of the border wall being built. This was something that has been talked about by politicians for so many years and never executed on. This is something that people in both parties had said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, but they never actually did it. Let's go to Cut 18, which is a Honduran individual who said, I wanted to get to the U.S. because there's a new president. He's going to help all of us. Cut 18.
What I want for my people, I just want patience and peace that we can get to the U.S. because they're having a new president. Where's Biden? He's going to help all of us. He's given us 100 days to get to the U.S.
There you go. 100 days to get to the U.S. And then mass amnesty comes after that.
I won't be surprised if and when that happens, but as we can expect from the immigration policies of the left, you better not challenge them or you'll be called the worst names in the book.
That's exactly right. There's some other clips here that I do want to get to. But before I do, I want to just say that there is going to be a mad dash to try to eliminate and abolish the Trump legacy, redefine it for something that it quite honestly isn't. And Isabel, you worked in the White House. You know how hard so many people in the White House worked in more ways than one to try to accomplish these policy objectives, whether it be foreign policy, domestic policy. And it really is an amazing thing how much was done. And it was more than just the president. It was an entire White House team.
Right. It was a movement. And it even went beyond the White House. But during my time as an intern there, I was very fortunate to work in the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. And I love to tell this story because it tells the significance of the character of this president and the White House. We hosted many events called State Day conferences where I would call hundreds upon hundreds of people in a day and invite state legislators, mayors, county commissioners, local government officials to come to the White House to hear about all of the resources that were available to them from the federal government down to the local and state government levels, and to meet people like the Vice President, Kellyanne Conway, and cabinet secretaries. For most of the people that I called, that was the first phone call ever that they had received from the White House, let alone an invitation to come check it out. And to see such bipartisan support for this movement from within this White House once those individuals made it to Washington, D.C., was so inspiring. This is an administration that's focused on serving the people and the state and local governments from the federal level, not the other way around.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I know from personal experience, a lot of these White House staffers, just friends of mine, I mean, they worked 7 days a week. They were under constant press scrutiny. They were always being criticized. They were always being challenged. And they got a lot done, renegotiated our major trade deals, negotiated peace in the Middle East, and just changed the way American politics were done in general. All the while in the midst of a global pandemic, the shutdowns that came alongside of it, the Chinese coronavirus and all of it.
They put up with so much over the last 4 years. And we just want to say thank you to all of the staffers who worked in this administration. It's been so inspiring to see all of your work ethic and the commitment that you have to this country and to the American people.
Let's go to cut 24. Remember, this was how good the economy was thanks to President Donald Trump. Just 1 year into his presidency, the economy was better than we could have ever imagined. Cut 24.
The Trump growth agenda is in place and it is working. That's deregulation and tax cuts. We've got the best growth rate in a decade, well over 3% now. And the result is the Trump stock market rally. As you said, 81 record highs for the Dow Industrial since the election of Donald Trump, and over $6 trillion added to the value of all stocks being traded today.
And cut 22 is a Michigan man who says that President Trump's tax cuts helped him upgrade his equipment, his manufacturing equipment. Cut 22.
It's the first time we're moving forward to a future, putting, you know, upgrading our equipment. And you talked about your shop's bought four to six new trucks. Four recently. Last year with the tax cuts from President Trump, four brand new 2018 mixers. We were driving 1999s before that and older. And this year we were able to purchase two more brand new cement mixers.
Interesting. And then cut 21, when even ABC admitted that President Donald Trump's tax cuts, they lowered taxes not just for high income earners, but for people in the middle income ladder and the lower income ladder. Cut 21.
Now, obviously, the Trump tax cuts significantly lowered the tax rate for lower income earners. In fact, the Tax Policy Center found that middle income workers, some middle income workers saw $900 a year in tax savings. So repealing the Trump tax cuts, full on repeal, that does raise taxes.
Yes, it does. And then cut 23, very short clip, Joe Biden just basically telling us what he's going to do with taxes.
That's why I'm going to eliminate the Trump tax cut.
All the tax cuts, all the positives we just went through, he plans to get rid of all of them. Cut 25, Kevin McCarthy highlighting the success of the USMCA, and it really is the art of the deal. This is something that didn't get talked about enough, but this is a massive renegotiation of people that talked about this for some time. Obama never did it. Bush never did it. But we have a new trade deal, thanks to President Trump. Cut 25.
Now, we've got to give the president a great deal amount of credit here. This is really the art of the deal. If your viewers go back and remember, it's very difficult to get an agreement between these two countries. What did the president do? He shifted, got a negotiation with the president of Mexico right before he leaves office, put Canada in a bind that they had to come to an agreement. And now he just got the Speaker of the House,
do
who
you
just
think
loves
they
to
have...
impeach him, to agree to this.
And that's just one of the amazing portfolio accomplishments. We can go one by one by one. And being energy independent, as we mentioned previously, is such a big deal. And so the question is, how many of these are actually going to continue? Quite a lot. It's going to be very hard for Joe Biden to undo some of these accomplishments. He's not going to undo the USMCA. It's too popular. What he'll do foreign policy, I think, will be some of his, you know, the biggest damage that he'll do, especially when it comes to Iran and renegotiating that. When it comes to the southern border, he's probably almost assuredly going to keep the southern border wide open with zero to any sort of barriers whatsoever, which is just going to be a tragedy for the country. We have to do everything we possibly can to try and pressure senators and congresspeople in the White House to demand border security for our country, especially senators like Mark Kelly, who ran on, oh, I'm not against border security. You know, OK, well, let's put the pressure then on Senator Mark Kelly to see if he actually believes that. And this policy portfolio, I'm telling you right now, Obama did not have a policy portfolio in 8 years like President Trump had in 4 years. And with a Congress for two of those years that was diametrically opposed to him, with a Congress that was against him at every single turn. And even in the first couple of years, a lot of the Republicans that weren't totally on board for his complete and his total agenda. Senator Mitch McConnell has come out and said that President Donald Trump provoked the mob that came to the Capitol building. I think we have that tape. Let's play tape. Cut 49.
The last time the Senate convened, we had just reclaimed the Capitol from violent criminals who tried to stop Congress from doing our duty. The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people. And they tried to use fear and violence to stop a specific proceeding of the first branch of the federal government, which they did not like.
And so Senator Mitch McConnell is blaming President Trump, looks like solely for what happened at the Capitol. And you can say that you think that President Trump could have chose his words differently and all of that. However, that is not the complete picture of everything we have seen as far as there were people and instigators that were there ahead of time. In fact, just today, there is a instigator that was arrested who seemed to have been planning this starting on January 1st. He was just arrested today, part of a group called Oath Keepers. And he said that he, with conspiracy, not just unlawful entry. I believe that is the first arrest of its kind. And it says that he has been planning this for quite some time to come to the Capitol and try to disrupt, maybe disrupt or whatever. So that would go against this idea that it was just the people that were at the Ellipse that marched over to the United States Capitol building. Let's go to this story right here, which I think is really important, which this is going to be the fight that we're going to have to kind of go up against in Congress almost immediately. Joe Biden is set to propose an 8-year citizenship path for illegals in our country. Quote, President-elect Joe Biden plans to unveil a sweeping immigration bill on day one of his administration, hoping to provide an 8-year path to citizenship for an estimated 11 million people living in the United States. It's probably even more than that, by the way, according to a Harvard University study. The story goes on to say, under the legislation, those living in the United States as of January 1st, 2021, without legal status, would have a 5-year path to temporary legal status or a green card if they pass background checks, pay taxes, or fulfill other basic requirements. From there, it's a 3-year path to naturalization if they decide to pursue citizenship. It says here the bill is not as comprehensive as the last major immigration overhaul when Biden was vice president, but it does appear that some of the roots of the migration from Central America to the United States provides grants for workforce development and English language learning. It goes on to say that Biden and his allies and even some Republicans have identified immigration as a major issue where the new administration could find common ground. Yeah, common ground to give massive amnesty with Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell and enough other Republican senators to avoid the stalemate that has vexed administrations for both parties for decades. Okay, so both parties want immigration reform for different reasons. The Democrats want it because it's a potential political constituency for them and it gives new voters into the country. Republicans want it because it's cheap labor and more people in the country that might be able to purchase goods and services. It's an expanded consumer market. So both of them want it for different reasons, and you kind of have the Chamber of Commerce wing and the Radical Democrat wing that are able to agree on mass amnesty for the country. And this has to be one of the top sticking points for those of us that care about what really happens in our country moving this point forward, which is that we are not going to allow a mass amnesty bill to go through the United States Congress. We need as many senators as possible to stand up preemptively against this. And you're already starting to see Joe Biden is looking at this as a point of agreement with a lot of Republicans.
Importantly, too, Charlie, this bill that will be introduced tomorrow does not include at all any element of border security, which we were touching on earlier, which we've known over the last 4 years has been a very major point for the Trump administration because of human trafficking, drug trafficking, illegal firearms trafficking, among other problems across our southern border. To completely eliminate any conversation about border security is a direct attempt to overthrow what just happened in the last 4 years.
Yeah, and not all Hispanics, by the way, are necessarily Democrats. Republicans are doing better and better with Hispanic voters. However, we are a nation of laws. If you want to come into this country, then apply to come in legally. And stricter immigration has been something that is very popular with the American people. And also, it raises wages. It also improves the working conditions of the American workers here. This used to be something that Sherrod Brown and Bernie Sanders used to talk about, which is strict immigration, that it's the massive corporations that want unlimited flows of people into America. They no longer believe that. They have now said that wide open borders is the best possible thing for them in every way, shape, or form, which that kind of policy pivot is something I'd be super interested in kind of analyzing further on another episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. Every new year, all you hear is people say, "New year, new me." That usually means they'll be picking up better habits or trying new things. And if you do take up a new hobby, it's even better that you have amazing audio that will make the experience even better. That's why I recommend wireless earbuds from Raycon. Whether it's following along to directions in the kitchen, binging an audiobook while learning to knit, or powering through a new workout while I pumped up playlist in your ear, a pair of Raycons can make any activity easier and a better time. Raycon makes great sound accessible to everyone. Their wireless earbuds start at half the price of other premium audio brands. And guess what? If you think having white stems dangling out of your ears looks ridiculous, that's something you don't have to worry about with Raycon. They come in range of stylish colorways, but always with a comfortable in-ear fit with a more discreet look. People love Raycon. Our team uses them all the time. Raycon's offering 15% off all their products for my listeners. Here's what you got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Kirk. That's it. You get 15% off your entire Raycon order, so feel free to grab a pair and spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/Kirk. buyraycon.com/Kirk. A lot of people are kind of wondering, where do we go from here? What is next? Well, I gave an entire speech on that this last weekend, so I encourage you to check out the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. But look, first you have to just take kind of a damage report of everything, reassess, and understand the Democrats will, in miraculous fashion, screw all of this up, and that people are going to want to come back and have conservatives in charge again. The question is, will we be prepared? Will we be ready? Or will our will be broken? Will our will be broken?
I sure hope not, Charlie. And the good news is there's a lot of people that we know personally, as well as ourselves, that are going to continue fighting for conservative ideas in this country and attack this more from a cultural perspective rather than political.
So starting in the next couple days, Joe Biden will get sworn in. He will give his speech to the nation all about unity. It was a more of kind of a Soviet version of unity, though, which is the absence of opposition.
Right. Rooted in totalitarianism, not a free society whatsoever.
And so the Biden agenda is widely unpopular with the American people. And just let's go into some of the problems that Joe Biden's going to be dealing with. Joe Biden's proposing a $2 trillion package, kind of a Chinese coronavirus relief package. $2 trillion. The economy is in an okay spot, thanks to President Trump. But it should be in a better spot if everyone reopened. You're starting to see Chicago and all of a sudden New York like, oh, maybe these lockdown things don't work. How convenient. However, even with that, there's been massive economic displacement and disruption. Massive. Therefore, Joe Biden is going to be faced with some form of monetary and currency inflation, stagnant economic growth, people displaced from the labor pool, and he's going to have to own the entire thing. So they're going to do this $2 trillion relief bill, which will not be stimulative. We've talked about this many times on our program. The best way to stimulate the economy is just open up the country completely and fully. And Joe Biden is going to have a difficult time navigating this. The Federal Reserve is going to come to him and suggest raising rates, not immediately, but soon, because the money supply has gotten out of control of how many dollars we have created and pushed into the economy. And so his idea of trying to get the economy up and running will be to actually destroy the American economy as we know it. We'll try to just reshape it altogether. Now, that's not going to be widely popular. That's not going to be popular amongst mainstream Americans that don't want a fundamental redefinition of the American economy where, for example, Joe Biden is already just saying, I'm going to abolish student loan debt. This is something I have a lot of problems with. First of all, what about people that didn't go to college at all? Did they get a $10,000 rebate? What about people that worked their way through college? What about people that minimize their school debt? Isabel, you probably did everything you could to minimize how much debt you took.
I did. I intentionally chose the school I went to because I could graduate debt-free and pay for grad school debt-free.
So debt-free,
as well.
And so do you get some form of a credit for that? Probably
not.
That
would be great.
And so what it does is it actually incentivizes and rewards bad behavior. So Joe Biden says, I want to forgive up to $10,000 or $20,000 in student loan debt. This is not stimulative in any way whatsoever. The money will actually just go to colleges or note holders or the federal government. It's in no way will this create more economic growth in any way, shape, or form. And so Joe Biden's going to have a serious amount of problems because he's going to have a set of realistic challenges and a very corrupt Democrat Party that's going to be demanding certain policy objectives to be put forward that are directly at odds with what actually is going to be good for our country. And so that's going to be one of the major challenges for Joe Biden is, will I be able to make the country a better place or at least solve some of these problems while also keeping all these promises I made to all of these special interests, the teacher unions, the pharmaceutical companies, the tech companies. It's going to be a very, very difficult task for him. And so tomorrow he's promising at a State of the Union address that he's going to promise unity. Their definition of unity, again, is the absence of opposition. They want to run us over. And you're starting to see this in a lot of different patterns of language. We played some of this clip yesterday. I want to play it again. Let's go to cut 11 of Alex Stamos saying that it's time to get rid of all those conservative influencers. They're really causing trouble. Cut 11.
And second, we have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than daytime CNN, and they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem, you know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need Verizon, AT&T, Comcast and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes.
As we said before, nothing good happens after you say, but.
Freedom of speech, but.
This whole kind of competitor news channel thing, this guy was a former chief security officer Facebook.
And he's a current professor at Stanford University,
well,
I discovered today.
I look at the background. That looks like a Hoover Institution background. I've done a hit from that studio. So he's teaching the next young minds of tech elites at Stanford. It's time to really take disinformation seriously. Now, mind you, the disinformation they want to take seriously is far right wing disinformation, which they loop in with mainstream conservatism. However, what about this kind of disinformation? Why is this person allowed on social media? Let's go to what Hillary Clinton said. Hillary Clinton, in this stunning podcast, said that she would love to see President Trump's phone records because she suspects that President Trump was calling his buddy Putin, updating him during the tragic Capitol riot. Cut 26.
With a president who disdains democracy and, as you have said numerous times, has other agendas. What they all are, I don't think we yet know. I hope historically, we will find out who he's beholden to, who pulls his strings. I would love to see his phone records to see whether he was talking to Putin the day that the insurgents invaded our capital. But we now know that not just him, but his enablers, his accomplices, his cult members have the same disregard for democracy. Do you think we need a 9/11 type commission to investigate and report everything that they can pull together and explain what happened?
And she asked the question, and cut 27 is Nancy Pelosi's answer, where she says, yes, we need an investigative body like the 9/11 commission. I can say President Donald Trump has officially broke Hillary Clinton's brain. She never used to be this foolish, but it has been done. Quite possibly added to the list of accomplishments of the last 4 years. Cut 27.
I do. Let me, again, to your point of who is he beholden to, as I've said over and over, as I said to him in that picture with my blue suit,
right,
as I was leaving, what I was saying to him as I was pointing rudely at him, with you, Mr. President, all roads lead to Putin. I don't know what Putin has on him politically, financially, or personally, But what happened last week was a gift to Putin, because Putin wants to undermine democracy in our country and throughout the world. And these people, unbeknownst to them maybe, are Putin puppets. They were doing Putin's business when they did that at the incitement of an insurrection by the president of the United States. So, yes, we should have a 9/11 commission, and there's strong support in the Congress to do that.
9/11 style commission to investigate Trump's ties to Putin. I thought that's why we had the Mueller report. Now, this goes to show that they are never going to let go. They will never let go of President Trump intentionally. The reason they will never let go is because their policies are unpopular. They cannot govern. Trump is unpopular amongst their base and is able to raise money for them and keep them in power. So again, Trump is going to be golfing at Trump National in Florida next week, and they're going to say, that man is the problem. And like, you control everything. You control the House, the Senate, the companies, the universities, our channels of communication, our courts, our civil service, the presidency, the military, the intelligence community, and that guy on the back nine who's just trying to get some sun after working his tail off for 4 years, he's the problem. And it's not lost on me that we were saying that Obama left us with a lot of problems. That's not lost to me. That's a legitimate thing, that if you have a different philosophical or political belief. However, we were very quick as conservatives to say, we're in charge, we're going to fix it. And they also, the Democrats, always responded like, aren't you President Trump? Then just fix it if it's so terrible. And so starting tomorrow, Joe Biden's going to have to own all of it. He's going to have to own the entire policy portfolio, all of it. And there will be no more excuses. And one thing that really bothers me when it comes to people that are taking credit for the vaccine, President Trump did everything he possibly could to get that into development and implement it out as quickly as possible. Just a strange thing. I'm not going to insinuate anything here. I'm just going to kind of go through the video of what I see. But this is a video of some people at the Capitol. Now, Nancy Pelosi says she wants an investigation. Great. Investigate videos like this as well, alongside of it, where people were strangely changing, taking their black stuff off and their red, white, and blue stuff on. Why would somebody do that? Play tape. So what we have here are people that are quickly taking off black clothes and putting on Make America Great Again clothes in the bushes. They seem to have this pretty well choreographed. They're working quickly, aren't they?
They sure are, and sort of hiding in a tree to make sure that people can't see.
This brave soul comes up and gets their faces and their identities, I think. But that does not look like a traditional move, that if you were all of a sudden quote-unquote incited at a cap, you know, at the ellipse, you run over, go to the bushes, take off the black and put on MAGA stuff.
And notably, put down the American flag that you're holding in the dirt on the ground, walking all over it while you're changing.
Something very suspicious. I do want to address one of these emails. If anyone has sentiments like this, I'm going to paraphrase parts of it. Hi, Charlie. I'm 27 years old, and I've had a major depressive disorder and eating disorder since I was 11. A few years ago, I was diagnosed with something, and I'm not going to get into that. I've been dealing with suicidal thoughts and having attempted a few times. In November, I kind of had the thought that President Trump had won the election. I'd give life another try because it would feel like God cares, so he exists and wants to help. Yet now evil people who want to kill babies and approve of sex work will be in power. What's the point in living anymore in this world if it's going to get much worse and God doesn't care that there are millions of Americans, people all over? Where is he? I'm tired. I'm scared. I think I'm done. Okay, well, first, Amy, thank you for emailing us. You're a lot tougher than you might think, believe it or not. And other people need you more than you might even give your own estimation. You're a tough person, and things are about to get tougher. And life has ups, it has downs. And I could tell you right now that the God who has created us and made us in his image has always promised us that things are not always necessarily going to be easy, but they will always be worth it. And so, Amy, my message to you is to first find someone you can talk to about this verbally, keeping things inside around these sorts of thoughts never is a good thing. The second thing is understand that it is not a release. It's not something that will make anyone's life happier or easier. Instead, you will hurt other people by hurting yourself. And I could say that from personal experience of people that have decided to do that. And things will get better. We're going to make sure of it. And one of the promises that we are given in the Bible is when you trust in God and follow his commandments, you will experience persecution. But the battle's already won. And so it might feel as if there's no hope and everything's falling around you, but there is. There's still hope. They're going to try every sort of dark thing they possibly can, but we're going to get through it. So Amy, thank you for your email. You can email us or me anytime. And so hang in there and focus on the good. Find things that not necessarily make you happy, but have meaning, and do those things. And so I want to thank you for your email. And if there's any way we can help you, please let us know. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Any thoughts on that, Isabel?
Yeah, Amy, I would just like to echo the fact that there are so many people out there who love you unconditionally. I've lost people in my life to suicide, and it's one of the hardest things in the world to grapple with the fact that so often people are struggling so much and you have no idea that they're there. So just remember that you're not alone. There's always people that you can reach out to. And the fact that you reached out to someone today just goes to prove your strength and your ability to weather the storm. So you're never alone.
Amen. Well, email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Here's one right here. Hey, Charlie, I love the show. Why are there so many troops at the Capitol? Martial law has not been declared, but Washington, D.C. has been declared an emergency site because of what happened at the Capitol. And there's a lot of troops. There's tens of thousands of troops right now in Washington, D.C. to try and secure the Capitol for the inauguration.
Yeah, more troops are actually in Washington, D.C. today than in Afghanistan, Syria, and Iraq combined.
Incredible. Here is a question here where a lot of students are at, let's say, Wheaton College, which is too bad, pushing back up against Trump. And I'll get into this actually in a podcast, so you guys can always email us your questions. freedom@charliekirk.com. I know Wheaton College very, very well, but basically it wants even further pushing back against anyone that has any association with Trump at this particular Christian college and this Christian school. Here's Rebecca. She said, Charlie, do you think we'll end up our lives in re-education camps? Us fellow believers need to stick together. Thank you for all you do. Listening for all the time. Praying for you. Thank you, Becky. Thank you for your prayers. They mean a lot. Will we end up in re-education camps? I hope not. I'm not going to let that happen. I'll tell you that much. But there are people that are suggesting that. They have suggested that we need to, what's the way they word it? They don't say re-education camp. They say
reprogram, I think, is the new
fancy word. Yeah, that's right. We need a massive reprogramming campaign of those Trump supporters in every single way. And so we're not going to let that happen. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. And I encourage you to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war at tpusa.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.